It is Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Some of us will be watching the Packers with a side of hot chicken wings parked on the coffee table Sunday night in front of the TV. We're cooking wings, getting tips on where to find restaurants that satisfy a craving. Are you a fan of chicken wings? Do you have a special recipe or a favorite restaurant for wings? We're at 800-642-1234. Ace Champion is a private chef and TV cooking show host. He has Louisiana roots, knows his way around a mean jambalaya and gumbo. It's called Green Bay home for a long time now. Ace Champion, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Thank you for having me this early morning.
All right. Well, we've been waiting for this. How do you measure the quality of your chicken wings? What makes a really great chicken wing?
Well, I would definitely say it all starts with the quality of the actual chicken. You know, having a good, nice, plump, meaty chicken wing really helps out to really add a lot of flavor. You know, I've had a lot of chicken wings in my past where it's pretty much all bones. And, you know, when I'm trying to watch a nice Packer game and get filled up on not just beer, you know, I want a little meat with my wings. So it starts off with the meat for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to nibble on those wings, and you want to have a little bit more meat on those wings so that it can be a little bit more satisfying, not so much bone. Do you usually lean toward crispy or tender?
See, and I'm a crispy guy, kind of like when I do my ribs, you know, I like a little bit of a tear, you know, don't get me wrong. It definitely needs to be tender, but, you know, tender with a little bit of crispy and a little bit of tear. Therefore, I personally prefer to deep fry them. I feel like I get a little bit of a better tear when I throw them in the deep fryer.
What do you mean by a little better tear? Is it like falling off the bone a little bit easier?
No, actually a little bit harder,
okay.
You know, like I said, kind of like the ribs in a way, you know, falling off the bone, like I said, is great. But, you know, when I'm eating the ribs, I kind of like a little bit of resistance. It kind of and I don't mean in a tough way neither, you know, so tender, but a little bit of a tear to go with it. And like I said, you normally can achieve that by throwing it in the deep fryer. Most of the times when you bake it, that tends to make it a little bit more tender. So you kind of lose that tear.
Okay. Do you ever use a combination of both deep frying and baking?
Yeah. Especially if you're trying to, you know, cook for a large crowd. A lot of times what I've done is I par baked them in the oven and probably cooked them about 3/4 of the way done. And then you can kind of put them on the sheet pan, throw them in the refrigerator, forget about them. And then when your guests are all around and they're all ready to eat the wings, you can just pop them in the deep fryer for about 3 to 4 minutes and then they should be good to go.
Well, when you don't feel like deep frying your own wings, what are some of your favorite places to go in Green Bay for wings?
Really, in Green Bay, almost any bar that's located around Lambeau Field, really, they do a really good job with wings around here. I mean, there's Burkle's, there's Stadium View, which is right across the street from Lambeau Field. You know, I like to navigate towards the ones that actually have really good deals. A lot of these places have 50-cent wing specials, you know, which go really, really well when you're sitting there for 2 hours watching a football game.
So are there any other places across the state that you know have a real name for their wings?
Legend Larry's, they were one of my sponsors through my cooking show, and they do a really good job with wings. They have about four locations throughout Wisconsin. They also sell their sauces, too, as well. So if you're making wings at home, you can just pick you up a nice sauce that's already ready-made versus trying to make yours from scratch.
We're talking chicken wings with private chef Ace Champion, and you can join in. Are you a fan of wings? Tell us some of your favorite wing restaurants in your area. How do you go about making your chicken wings ahead of Sunday? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Ace, talk about sauces here. What are some of your favorite sauces that really complement the wing?
Yeah, see, me personally, I always like to give my wings a lot of spice. You know, being from Louisiana, we like it very, very hot. So obviously, I like to go to the Cajun style. seasoning, or you can also do the Jamaican jerk style season that I really, really love, you know, that has kind of like that scotch bonnet pepper in there that really, really spices up things. And then what I like to do is always cool that hot wing off after, you know, you've cooked it, you've tossed it in the hot sauce, and then I like to dip it in like a blue cheese or a honey mustard to try and give it that sweet and spicy type of taste.
Wow, you're going in both directions there. So you've got a sauce on the wing and then you're dipping it after.
Oh yeah, so I'm a full flavor guy, so I like to season the wings first, you know, kind of let them marinate for about 10 minutes, you know, overnight works best. You know, and then once you season them, then go ahead and fully cook them, and then I actually like to toss them into the hot sauce. So you're looking at hot seasoning, hot sauce, and then cooling it off with a nice dipping sauce.
All right, step back for us, if you would, and take us through the process of marinating that wing overnight. I would assume you have it in a baggie or some type of container. What's going on there?
Yeah, so once I season them, you know, I lay them out on a sheet pan and I season them, you know, make sure you season really well on both sides. A lot of people sometimes under season their wings or their chicken. Chicken really holds a lot of flavor, so feel free to load up the spice on them. Me personally, I love using a Ziploc bag. Sometimes people will marinate them in a big bowl and put a lid on it, but there's a lot of air in there, and the true way to marinate something is to suck out all the air. So I squeeze all the air out of the bag and then just throw it in the refrigerator and just let it just marinate. And that way the seasoning of the spice actually penetrates through the chicken versus if I just season it and throw it in the oven on the deep fryer, you might taste that spice. And you don't really want to taste the actual season. You just want to taste the flavor from the seasoning.
All right. So now we're in the next day. We've slept on these wings and taking them out of the fridge. Where do we go next?
Yeah, so we take them out of the refrigerator. You know, if you're going to bake them, you know, lay them on your sheet pan. Always make sure you preheat your oven. I'd probably go about 400, 425. And cook it for about 12 minutes, depending on the size of the wings. Like I said, if you're going to do that, I call it combination cooking method. You would go ahead and just par bake your wings. And once you're done par baking them, throw them back in the refrigerator. Once they're cooled off, wrap them with saran wrap, and then when your guests are coming, you can kind of fry. I like to fry them up in batches. You know, I know some people cook 100 wings all at once and then kind of leave them in a crock pot. Well, after about 30 minutes to 45 minutes, they're going to get so tender to where they're literally going to fall off the bone before you even get to them. So I like to just do them as batches in batches. And this way people can kind of enjoy the wings fresh throughout the whole game.
So you are baking and then frying them up right before you serve them.
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
And so when you fry them up, are you putting them in the deep fryer?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So if you do have a deep fryer, I would definitely recommend getting an electric deep fryer. Okay. I know down south we fry a lot, so we're pretty much the pros when it comes to frying out on the skillet. If you're not used to frying in the skillet, it can be a little bit challenging because, you know, it's very hard to determine the regulation of the actual oil, you know, making sure it's at the perfect 350 degrees. So if you don't have an electric deep fryer, I would probably stay away from it unless you've had some experience with doing the deep frying.
We're cooking up wings with Chef Ace Champion, touring around the state to find restaurants that satisfy a craving for hot and spicy wings. Shout out to Milwaukee Wing Fest Sunday at the State Fairgrounds. What's your favorite flavor of wings? Are you a fan of honey barbecue, lemon pepper, something spicier? Do you serve up wings for football Sundays? Make your own or take out? Crockpot, fryer, oven, join in, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment, there's more Ace Champion here on the Ideas Network. We're doing up chicken wings here on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So if you like spicy foods, few dishes provide more satisfaction than wings. They're slathered in sauces, maybe multiple sauces, deep fried to perfection using the freshest meat. Is your mouth watering yet? What is your favorite part about wings? Do you look for a tender bite or the crisp? Do you have a special recipe that you can walk us through? Join in 800-642-1234. Tweet us all things wings at WPR Mornings. Chef Ace Champion is our trusted guide, and he stays with us. Ace, we've been talking about electric deep fryers. How do you, what would you recommend for cooking oil first? What are you putting in that fryer?
Yeah, you know, I would definitely go with like a canola oil. Peanut oil, I found out working in the restaurants over the year, to me works best. You just want something that has, you know, a very high smoke point. 375 or better, you know, more, I would say more on the 425 degrees, something that's not going to burn up on you and kind of hold so you can get multiple fries out. So I would definitely go with peanut oil or canola oil.
When do you know those chicken wings are ready to come out of the fryer?
When everyone's looking at you saying, where's my wings? No, you know, if you're par cooking them, and like if you're baking them first, you know, once you go into the deep fryer, I mean, you're looking at, you know, a couple of minutes. A lot of times you can just go by sight, you know, and just look for, you know, that nice golden brown look to it. You know, I always like the taste test, you know, just kind of pull one out, let it cool off a little bit, break the wing in half, and you can literally look inside the actual chicken wing and determine, you know, if it's clear white meat, it's done, and, you know, and that's pretty much the gist of it.
And do you let the oil drippings, when you pull those wings out, do you let the oil drippings kind of run off, or do you try to trap them?
No, because, you know, you don't want any oil on the wings, because if you have a lot of oil on the wings, it's going to want to fight with the sauce, and you really want that sauce to coat the wing. So normally if you're using an electric deep fryer, it will have some type of basket. So you're just going to lift that basket up over that oil and kind of let it hover over the oil for about a minute so that all the oil drips off of there. Sometimes, you know, if you really want a really good coating on the wings, I'd put them on that sheet pan again and maybe throw a paper towel over it and kind of pat it to kind of soak up as much as that oil that's still left on there, and then toss the wings. And then this way the actual sauce really, really sticks to the wings.
Air fryers are really popular these days. Would you recommend using them at all for chicken wings?
I would, especially if you're trying to go a little bit more healthier. You know, obviously deep fried, even though it's delicioso, it's not always the healthiest for you. So if you're trying to, you know, cut a couple of calories and look out for your health, I would definitely recommend a deep fryer. Is it the same as a fryer? I don't think so. There are certain elements in an actual fryer that the deep fryer misses, especially if you're using the same oil. A lot of times in restaurants, we'll cook a variety of different things in that oil, and that actually pertains a lot of flavor in that oil that transfers over to the actual chicken wings. You can still get a good crust with some of these new deep fryers.
You sound pretty optimistic about that. We're talking with Chef Ace Champion. He's here talking about best practices for preparing homemade wings. You can join in. Do you have a special recipe for homemade wings? What is it? What can you share about that recipe? Who taught you to make your wings? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Ace, how do you go about the brining process? If you would, you know, would you recommend brining chicken?
Yeah, I mean, brining chicken is kind of the same concept as we talked earlier about kind of seasoning the chicken breast, putting it in a Ziploc bag. Basically, you're just marinating it. Me personally, I'm not a big salt guy. You know, traditional brining is, you know, the salt and water and kind of let that kind of sit, which works great if you're dealing with like an 8-piece chicken, because, you know, you're dealing with some pretty bulky pieces of chicken. But because wings are so kind of smaller and more tender, you know, I just go with just the straight, you know, whatever season blend that I'm using, and just kind of letting it marinate in that Ziploc bag like we talked about.
Would you recommend with sauces ever using one out of a jar, out of a, you know, one that's pre-made? I'm just looking at a little bit of cutting corners here.
Oh, no, no worries, no worries. I know we're living in society, we're on the go. You know, I have no problem with using stuff in a jar. You know, I'm an ingredient guy, so I always turn around and read the ingredients. You know, I would say just make sure it's as natural as possible. You know, no added fillers, no high fructose corn syrup, you know, nothing that, you know, is going to be harmful for your body. Because, you know, there's a misconception that some people think, oh, it's because it's in a can or it's in a bottle, it's not good. But that's not necessarily true because, you know, back in the day before refrigerators, we canned everything. So it's just making sure that you have a nice natural product, and I think you should be good to go with a nice sauce out of a bottle.
We have your infusion spices recipe up on our website, wpr.org/mornings. What goes into your spice blend?
So I have a New Orleans blend, which is traditional to Louisiana. It's just a Ace Champion New Orleans blend. I mean, you have your, obviously your cayenne pepper, a little bit of paprika, onion powder. The reason why I love using like a Cajun blend is because it has 7 or 8 of the spices that I would normally use anyway by default. It has a little bit of salt in it, but that salt is mixed in with all of the spices. And then there's the Jamaican jerk one, which is just, I think, to die for. If you've ever had Jamaican cuisine, I mean, they make some of the best food in the world next to New Orleans. And it kind of gives you that spiciness from the Scottish botch pepper. But then, you know, it has that brown sugar in there to really give it a little bit of a sweetness too as well. So I'm a sweet and spicy type of guy. I love to play around with the heat and the sweetness to kind of give your mouth a little party every bite that you're eating.
Well, what does that blue cheese do for you on wings?
So the blue cheese, first of all, blue cheese is one of those dipping sauces. You either have a love for it or you don't. You know, I know some people that just absolutely will not eat it. I love blue cheese because it's nice and mild, and it's really a cool sauce. So if I'm dealing with the wing, a habanero wing or a Jamaican jerk wing, something that's really got a lot of spice to it, to dip that into that blue cheese, one, really cools it off, and it adds a whole nother element of flavor too as well. So it's a really exciting combination.
How do you know when you're picking out the wings and you're at the meat counter, how do you know that you've got a really, you know, good set of wings to work with?
You know, like I said, just kind of look for the ones that, you know, really, really have a lot of meat to them. I've done them all different ways. I've used the wings where the actual wingette was attached to the actual wing too as well. That makes for a very big wing. Me personally, I love the drumette part of it. To me, the drumette reminds me of a little mini drumstick, you know. So when you're at the meat counter or the butcher shop, you know, just ask them to bring out the tub of wings and, you know, just kind of look at them, and if they look like they're nice and plump and juicy, most likely they will be just that.
Well, I feel like we know enough to make wings that we could graduate to your Southern fried chicken recipe. Is that like the next grade level here? Passed wings?
It's kind of the same concept, and don't get me wrong, you know, when you're doing the wings, it doesn't just have to be baked or deep fried. I mean, you can definitely grill them too as well. You can add batter to them. I would recommend for a wing, you know, because it's such a small product, just doing your basic egg wash, you know, a little bit of egg, a little bit of milk, some mustard, throw in your Cajun season, tossing in that egg wash, and then let that drip off, and then toss it in your all-purpose flour. But make sure you season the flour too as well. So you're seasoning the chicken, you're seasoning the flour. When you're ready to graduate to the big boy chicken, then you can do the double batter, which is signature to Louisiana. So you'll add in some flour over your actual chicken thigh or chicken leg, whatever you're using, and then you're going to put that in the egg wash, let that drip dry, and then put that back in the flour, and that's really going to create that nice crispy flavor. You don't want to do the double batter for the wing because, like I said, it's so small and you risk it getting, you know, real clunky on you, and you don't really want that.
Ace Champion, who taught you to fry chicken?
All the ancient mamas back in Louisiana.
Thank you. I'm just trying to make sure that you give due credit. I'm helping you out
Oh
here.
yeah. Oh yeah. They their style of technique is mainly doing the fried chicken in the traditional cast iron, you know. Then I went to college and I got all fancy on them and I just used an electric deep fryer so I could regulate my temperature.
Do they think that you've kind of lost it a little bit, you know, doing those other fancy, having fancy devices?
Oh, most definitely. You know, I'm always changing up the old school. You know, I always love to start off with the old school and then make it my own. Unfortunately, the old school doesn't want to change. You know, they just down south, they use it from their grandma's recipe and that was passed down and they just think changing it would just alter it. But me personally, hey, as long as it tastes good, change it as much as you want.
Ace, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Ace Champion is a chef and cooking show host. He's based in Green Bay. It is Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. Coming up, we're on a hunt for some of the state's spookiest attractions. That's right after a news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're touring haunted houses and other scary fun attractions. Shout out to Park Falls House of Horror in Park Falls, the Twisted Trail of Terror in Menominee, where they love alliteration, and Haunted Voyage in Mishicot. Are you a connoisseur of haunted houses? What keeps you going back? How do you judge one? What do you find to be the scariest parts? We're at 800-642-1234. Sarah Meany is Tourism Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. Sarah, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Well, before we get into the scary, scary stuff, let's start out with some of the family-friendly places.
Okay.
we got a, like, toe dip here. Take us to Lake Geneva. What's happening there this weekend?
So, I mean, Lake Geneva is always a stunning, beautiful place this time of year. The Lake Geneva Canopy Tours is actually hosting their annual Fall Fest and Pumpkin Drop. So loads of fun going on there. Visitors to that event enjoy fall food from Lake Geneva's Simple Cafe. I can personally vouch for the quality and tastiness of their food. There'll be live music, local artists, pumpkin painting, and festgoers will also have free access to the hiking and biking trails on the property. And the main attraction at that event is actually the Pumpkin Drop.
Yeah, what is that?
The canopy tour. Yeah, so riders get to go across 8 zip lines and 5 bridges and 3 spiral staircases during the 2-hour tour. And at the end, they zoom down a 1,200-foot racing zip line with a pumpkin in their arms and aim at a large bullseye below. So if you hit the target with your pumpkin, you get a special prize.
Wow. I mean, this is like takes obstacle course to a whole new level.
Completely. Yeah, definitely. A lot of pumpkins splat everywhere and a whole lot of fun.
Well, pumpkin guts. I mean, that's not all that's that's kind of fun. What about in Fish Creek? There's Jack-o'-lantern days.
Right. Yeah. So over in Door County, Fish Creek is one of those great towns that when you walk through it, it's just everything feels like you're away for the weekend, right? And so that's this weekend, 25th through 27th of October. Halloween lovers of all ages can join in on this festival. So dress up in your Halloween costume. There's a costume contest on Saturday at noon. And then there's a townwide trick-or-treating with the whole family that everyone can enjoy. And you go from shop to shop and business to business, and everybody's in on the fun. There's also a family art day at the Peninsula School of Art.
That's cool.
In the Dorkin. Yeah, and kids, there's a kids' holiday, Halloween holiday party at the Old Town Hall as well. So loads of fun up in the Fish Creek area for anyone of any age, even if you're a scary cat.
And in Racine, take us there to Boo at the Zoo. It sounds like the zoo is getting into it.
Yes, the Racine Zoo definitely has fun going on. If you show up in your Halloween costume, you can trick-or-treat throughout the zoo at Boo at the Zoo. So there's a special treat finder map that shows you where to find the candy throughout the zoo. And some additional activities they have going on include Halloween crafts, Halloween-themed snacktivities, and a chance to meet the zoo's creepy crawling animals. I picture that being maybe snakes and bats and some, you know, nighttime animals. The zoo admission itself is $8 for adults and $7 per child. And the Racine Zoo is also hosting a special deal for Boo at the Zoo. So if you attend tomorrow, Saturday, you'll get a 50% off family coupon for the zoo's Lantern Festival admission that same night. So it's an opportunity to kind of make a day of it, save a little bit of money, and have a lot of fun with your family.
I wonder what the animals at the zoo get out of this. I mean, I hope that they get some treats as well.
I certainly do, right? They're on display for us.
I know that the Madison Zoo has a similar event, but the lines get really long for the candy. Mm. Do you know how popular the Racine one is?
And Yeah. The Racine Zoo is a really wonderful zoo. Of course, it's going to be popular. I would imagine this is always how I look at planning for these events, too, though. I have four kids of my own. Usually, if you're there early enough, you beat the crowds, right? So if you plan well ahead and you get there and then you can take your time, and then by the time you're finished, everyone else is arriving. That's usually how it works out. I know the Milwaukee County Zoo also has similar activities for kids and fun. So if there's something nearby or you want to take a road trip, there are a few options at the various zoos around the state, and always a lot of fun to combine because it's also really educational too. So it's fun to dress up and go to a place that otherwise you wouldn't be in your costume, right? So it's kind of a special day for the kids.
Talking with Sarah Meany, she's Tourism Secretary Designee at the Tourism Department. Parents, do you take your kids to different Halloween activities and attractions? Do you go to local events or ones across the state? Join in with your suggestions, your tips, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Sarah, let's go to Manitowoc for an unusual event this year. This is like a dead bed and breakfast. What's going on?
I love the idea of this. I think this is not for the faint of heart, though. So it is called Dead by Dawn Bed and Breakfast, or in other words, the world's first dead and breakfast. If you're up for that, listen to the rest of it. So basically, your host's top priority is making sure you have an unrestful night of sleep. So the bed and breakfast is in a historic building located in downtown Manitowoc, and guests start their evening with an unhappy tour in the shrunken headroom before an evening of unexpected visits from the living and the dead. So guests are free to roam the historic downtown Manitowoc, but they have to return by 11 p.m. when the doors to the bed and breakfast are locked in. You're locked in preparation for a frightening night ahead.
and like, I just want to clarify, like, people are paying for this frightening night of sleep. Right.
Absolutely. So when midnight strikes, it gets even better. It's lights out and everyone has to be in bed. And then things happen. So the nightmare room embraces all your fears and uncertainties. And the pirate room holds the secrets of the deep, dark waters. And the coulrophobia room is specially designed for those with a paralyzing fear of clowns.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So this is definitely something to put on your list if you've just never been scared enough in your life. After your unrestful night of sleep, breakfast is served to guests in the main parlor, and then I presume you're allowed to go home.
And I'm sure you're just all bright and chipper after that night.
Oh my goodness. I this is definitely something on a bucket list, but not for me, not this year.
Do you know
I love the idea. How creative is that?
It is super creative. I wonder how long they've been doing this.
Well, so what the group claims is that it's actually the first bed and breakfast in the world. So as far as they know, this is something that is one of a kind, unusual, and special. So people who love to, have the pants scared off of them, I think this is definitely something to check out. It sounds like a hoot.
I wonder how many people they can accommodate.
I don't know the answer to that, but I think that would be really, it would be really fun to learn a bit more about it. Yeah, it's called Dead by Dawn, Bed and Breakfast in Nanisiwak.
All right, so let's head to Waukesha, as since we are on a scariness here. We're going to the Wisconsin Fear Grounds.
Right. The fairgrounds become fear grounds in late October. It also is not for the faint of heart. So this year will be the last year of the fear grounds in Waukesha, and they're not holding back on the fear factor. Visitors can choose from two different haunted attractions, Anarchy and Labyrinth. So in Anarchy, a group of witch sisters and their army of minions unleash chaos through this last battle between good and evil. And the Labyrinth will take you through a maze of evil, where spirits from past fairground haunted houses wreak havoc on all the visitors who are trying to find their way out of the maze. So tickets start at $20 for both haunted attractions. If you hurry up and get those tickets, the last day to visit the fairgrounds is tomorrow, Saturday, October 26th.
And so, and this is their last time doing this, you said?
That's right. It sounds like this is their last hurrah of doing the fairgrounds at Waukesha County Fairgrounds.
Wow. Okay. Is there a recommended age for something like this?
Well, this one is definitely for the brave. I would suggest this is for grown-ups only, and definitely for people who are ready to be scared. It's pretty hands-on. This one is pretty hands-on.
And do they take up the whole area of the grounds, or how large is it?
I think, well, because there are two different pathways, right? There's two different setups. There's Anarchy and Labyrinth. So they must, you know, they have separation between those two options. But you can buy a ticket that gets you access to both of those. So, you know, the infrastructure itself, obviously people have to get in and out. And then, of course, the actors, or so we hope they are, also need areas to dead space to run around. I'm not sure what percentage of the total fairgrounds is covered by itself.
Yeah. And so this is a very much a night attraction. Is that right?
It is. It's definitely on the scarier end of the spectrum. So definitely, you know, plan on going and ready to be afraid, ready to get the adrenaline pumping.
Yeah, I wonder if the people in there will like be running around, touching. How intense is this?
There are a lot of examples of these types of events, but usually what they do is they give you very, very clear limitations and warnings and advice in advance of entering any of these types of things.
Okay.
I tend to like to do some of these things. This one definitely is on the scary end of things, but they do tell you whether there are things like flashing lights or strobe lights in case you have, you know, any issues with that. They tell you whether you will be touched and to what degree. I know there are some, and I don't know if this is one of them. There are some where they give you an option of different versions of the same tour where you consent to being able to be touched or separated from your group. This one does not give us the details on that. So that's something to look into for people interested in attending.
We're talking haunted experiences with Sarah Meany, who heads up the tourism department and appreciates a healthy freakout once in a while. Shout out to the Haunted Hollow in Wauwega, Wisconsin Fairgrounds in Waukesha, as we've been talking about. Do you take part in a local haunted house? What do you dress up as? What's your role? Join in at 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with Sarah Meany. There's more Wisconsin Weekend on the Ideas Network. We are embracing our fear factor as Halloween is just days away. Touring attractions around the state and Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. Put on your best zombie costume. There is a nice spectrum of scary and not so scary Halloween attractions all over the state. Have you ever visited a haunted attraction in Wisconsin? Where did you go? Do you make it a tradition to going to these places? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tourism Secretary Sarah Meany stays with us. Sarah, take us to Green Bay, where there's Terror on the Fox. What's that all about?
Oh, absolutely. Terror on the Fox is at the National Railroad Museum in Green Bay. And visitors get on board the Terror Train, which is a vintage train that takes them to haunted houses in the woods, where they can get spooked by two different storylines. One is the Weeping Woman, and the other is the Rise of the Dead. Mm. This is a fun topic to talk about this early in the morning, isn't it? And visitors to this activity and this event also can partake in two mini haunted escape games. So they give you 5 minutes to solve a spooky problem, like curing the plague or uncovering a golden skull. And Terror on the Box is open every weekend all the way through Halloween. So this weekend is going to be the last weekend. You can check the website for ticket costs because prices vary based on which night you go. And there are also two kids' days up ahead on November 1st and 2nd, where the haunted houses can be toured in daylight and are more family friendly. So it can be a little spooky without being so scary.
And they can ride the Terror Train?
The Terror Train, right, exactly. It's a vintage train. So that'll take you to those houses in the woods. So the family-friendly version of it is during the day. And so it's a little less scary, it's a little less intense, and definitely something for, younger members of the family.
Well, we haven't talked much about ghosts, and there's, going back to Door County area, there's a ghost tour?
Right. So the Door County trolley actually turns into a ghost trolley. So the ghost tour of Door County, also known as the Trolley of the Doomed, shares tales of ghostly sunken ships, haunted lighthouses, and mysterious happenings on the darker side of the Spirited Peninsula. So it's a 2.5-hour ride, takes you on a tour of Door County itself. There are tales of the area's haunted buildings and the spooky maritime past. In fact, the Maritime Museum itself does tell stories of the shipwrecks, many shipwrecks of our Great Lakes. And throughout the tour, guides will stop and lead riders to specific sites along the route. So there's additional Halloween-themed trolley tours, including Murder and Mayhem Tour. That retraces the steps of the peninsula's most wanted criminals. And the Haunted Pub Crawl Tour highlights the peninsula's haunted pubs and taverns. So those tours run through early November, and tickets for the ghost tours are $31.95. The Haunted Pub Crawl is $54, and tickets do sell out. So you have to call ahead and make sure you secure your spot so you can go have fun on those activities.
Well, what I like about that is that you get a dose of history as you're, mm-hmm. as you're doing this. So you really get some of that history of the area.
Yeah, and it gives you a lay of the land, too. You know, I myself have spent a fair amount of time in Door County, but not everyone has, and it's really one of the beautiful areas of our state. It's a fun way to see Door County and maybe then plan a trip again to come back at another time of the year.
There's also a ghost boat tour in the Dells.
Yeah, so the ghost boat tour has a similar ride and shriek experience. It's an intense hour and a half ghost boat tour up the Wisconsin River, and you leave at dusk on a boat filled with fellow explorers and a few uninvited ghostly guests.
Of course, there's always someone.
Yes. Right? Oh, yeah, somebody's going to be spooking you out, right? So you're going to hear about legends and folklore of the Dells as you ride upriver. And then comes a walk through a forest haunted by all manner of ghosts and ghouls, vampires and werewolves, and that'll lead you straight into the heart of the Witch of Wisconsin Dells Canyon Crypt.
Oh, goodness.
So, yeah, it is. It's such a beautiful part of our state. Being there in the dark is going to be a completely different experience. Really, really fun and cool.
Sarah, thank you so much for joining us, and happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you. I hope everyone has a great time.
Sarah Meany is Tourism Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, and we've been going around the state for Halloween thrills. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum.
Bookmobiles have long dotted Wisconsin's roadways and parking lots. The state has a history of bringing books and movies to the people living anywhere from the Wisconsin Dells to Green Bay. The historic Door County Bookmobile is one of the many items included in the Wisconsin 101 Project, which tells the state's history through objects. Jane Jensky went to learn more about the role that bookmobiles play in our communities.
On a hot summer day on the north side of Madison, families shuffle in and out of the Dream Bus. It's a bookmobile with bright cartoons painted on the outside.
This is a public library on wheels. So we have books, we have DVDs, we have CDs, we have audiobooks.
That's Amy Winkleman, a librarian on the Dream Bus.
The idea is to bring library service to people that may otherwise, for whatever reason, have trouble getting to a library branch.
Yeah, so we filled the top with his information for his card in there.
This is a big outreach project. We want everyone to know that we want them to be able to use that public library service.
The bus can hold around 2,500 books on its specially tilted shelves so they don't fall off. The librarians are sure to stock the appropriate books for each of the stops in Madison and Sun Prairie. Readers can find anything from foreign language materials to children's books. Plus, the librarians take special requests.
It's a really fun way to get people excited about library service.
The Dream Bus is one of the many bookmobiles in Wisconsin. The state has a rich history of bookmobiles serving communities, especially in rural places like Door County. The Door County Bookmobile was a traveling public library that brought an array of books to the peninsula. In the 1950s, only the area's wealthy families had large book collections, or those living near larger cities like Sturgeon Bay had access to books. Students in rural schools were underperforming in reading and writing. Farmers worked all day at the expense of reading time. Many schoolhouses in Door County only had about 15 books on their shelves. Michaela Kraft is an intern at the Egg Harbor Historical Society. She has been researching the function of the bookmobile and its legacy for Door County today.
So the bookmobile actually was founded out of a need here in Door County, especially for rural readers.
The state funded the bookmobile in Door County and Kewaunee County in the 1950s. It was then up to the residents to decide if they wanted to continue funding it with tax dollars.
And then in 1952, they voted Kewaunee and Door County, and only Door County kept the bookmobile service.
This led to increased literacy scores for children living in the area.
It was actually instrumental in a lot of the older generation now loving reading.
The bookmobile would travel all over the peninsula. It stopped at churches, schoolhouses, and street corners. For many children and adults, it was a chance to learn anything from new languages to farming to home improvement tips.
The school children would look forward to the bookmobile because it would come once a week and they could choose anything.
The bookmobile brought excitement and curiosity to Door County. It opened the world to small communities who otherwise wouldn't know what was going on beyond the peninsula.
I think before the bookmobile, a lot of children especially weren't even aware of print culture or the opportunities that they could discover outside of their county because they were so exceedingly rural, and there were a lot of immigrants who a lot of times wouldn't even speak English outside the home even, so they would only have that experience of the outside world through reading.
In addition to increased literacy scores and eye-opening experiences for isolated residents, it also provided a sense of interconnectedness amongst the scattered communities in Door County, much like the bookmobiles continue to do today.
That story about bookmobiles came from Jane Jensky, a UW-Madison student working on an internship for Wisconsin Life and Wisconsin 101, which tells the history of the state through objects. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend to mornings at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is Wisconsin Weekend on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.